He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, July the 21st edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. For the last 15 years, I suppose, we've been virtual, something like that, because we're show is heard all over the country. We have clients all over the country. Well, you know what? The ECB pulled the surprise here this morning, and they hiked interest rates over there. That's the European Central Bank by 0.5%. That was more. They were expecting 0.25%, and that's got the markets down, but not a lot. You know, we've had some pretty constructive action here recently on the technical patterns of the market. I've seen the downtrends abate in both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. By saying that, I mean they've stopped going down. They've been going sideways for the last 6 to 8 weeks, and they've actually turned up just a little bit here over the last couple of days. That's both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, and the NASDAQ just went positive here by 20 cents. It's at 11,900. The Dow is down 212. The bank stocks and the energy stocks are pulling the Dow down today, but the Dow looks to me also like that downtrend has abated for now. It's been going sideways for a good healthy period of time. And maybe it, too, will follow along and move to the upside, start a new uptrend. That's what we'd like to see. The Dow down 212 right now, 31,662. S&P 500 down 10 points to 39.50. Crude oil down 244 as the Nord Stream pipeline goes back online in Europe. And that's bringing down gas and oil prices. That's probably a temporary thing, however. Gold is at $7. It dipped under $1,700 for the first time since 2021 yesterday. The 10-year's at 2.98. We have an inverted yield curve, and Bitcoin is down 1,081 to 22,720. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Which will it be? This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, with Barry Kite on a European vacation, like the Griswolds, one of my favorite movies. I hope he has better luck than the Griswolds. He did hit the heat wave, but he also hit a very strong dollar and a low euro, so that's helping out. So we wish him well. He'll be back, I think, at the end of next week, something like that. In the meantime, you're stuck with me. We had a good day in the market yesterday, a very nice day. Now, just explaining the technical action that I've seen in the market. You know, I watch this daily. I look at a lot of charts daily, including those of the NASDAQ, the Dow, the Russell 2000, the S&P 500. What I've noticed is the NASDAQ, which was at one point this year down 28%. And, of course, you get into the outer banks of the NASDAQ, and it was down about 53% as measured by the innovation funds out there. I've noticed that the NASDAQ has leveled off like an airplane descending into the airstrip and coming in for a landing and then going sideways on the runway. And that NASDAQ and S&P 500 have been going sideways on the runway now for a good length of time, a healthy length of time. Definitely enough to call a constructive, healthy bottom in the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. Boeing would be a good example of that in the S&P 500 and in the Dow. Now what we're waiting for, and I've seen a couple days of this now, is for that airplane to take off once again and begin a new uptrend. Well, I've seen that the last few days in the NASDAQ, and I've seen it in the last few days in the S&P 500. And the Dow is getting very close to that. That could signal the early signs of a trend reversal. Now, you just think about it from a logical point of view. I talk about these phases in technical analysis. You've either got a stock or an index in a one, which is a sideways trend. That's a plane coming in for a landing, and now it's on the runway going sideways. Number two is that uptrend. You've either got a plane taking off, a stock or index taking off, beginning a new uptrend, beginning a new flight to 30,000 feet. To me, that's the best place to be buying a stock, is after it breaks out of one of these sideways trends. And eventually, the plane gets to 30,000 feet and starts to level off. Okay, you're up in rarefied air sometimes, especially from a valuation point of view or from an overbought point of view. That's where we were in November, January, February of this year with the forward PE of 23X on the S&P 500. And then the plane starts to descend and start that downtrend. And that's where we've been really since November of last year. But as I've said, over the last several weeks now, I have seen a leveling off. I'll be going through all of this in my newsletter this weekend. I begin the newsletter today. It only goes out to my clients and live trading subscribers that like to do things themselves, DIY. They're at Home Depot every Saturday getting parts to fix the sink. Because a plumber costs too much. There's nothing wrong with that. And then there's those that don't have the time to do all that. Hire the plumber, hire the guy to manage their money for them so that they can go about doing what they enjoy doing on the weekends or doing the weekdays. So the newsletter, 2 free weeks to anybody who asks, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And I also, we offer virtual appointments. It's a heck of a lot easier. You don't have to burn any gas. It's a free phone call. You don't have to fight for a parking place. You don't have to buy an expensive lunch downtown, overpriced cheeseburger. You can reach us. Set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Okay, so a nice day in the market yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 185 points yesterday. I saw the strength in the semiconductor stocks being led by Nancy Pelosi's pushing of the semiconductor sector. She says she's on board with the bill that would help encourage, entice, subsidize the building of semiconductor foundries here in the U.S. So we can get them away from Taiwan, where most of the semiconductors are made. You see, most of our companies here in the U.S. now today are what we call fabless. Yeah, the fabless. Not the Fab Four, but the fabless. They don't fabricate. They just design their chips and then send them off to the foundries to be made overseas. Well, if you haven't noticed, that's part of the supply chain constriction right now. If you haven't driven by a new automobile dealer lately, you'll notice there's not as many cars out there as there usually are. There continues to be a semiconductor shortage. Taiwan remains under kind of a dark cloud, you could say. We don't know what China will do, but they've certainly hinted at taking Taiwan like they did Hong Kong. It wouldn't surprise me if they did. Therefore, they would control the manufacturing of semiconductors, the CCP. So the semiconductor stocks have done a real good job here recently and helping to build that bottom. Now, will it hold? Okay. There's no guarantee that that bottom in the NASDAQ will hold. But I'm a probability guy. You know, I want the odds in my favor. I want to stack up the probabilities. Technical analysis is a very important part of investing. Knowing where a stock is at any given point in time. Knowing where an index is at. I don't buy into downtrends. Sideways trends can be pretty unexciting because they can remain in sideways trends for a long time. And buying stocks that are way elevated and approaching 30,000 feet can also be a dangerous venture. Well, we're down at the other end of that right now. We've descended, we've been going sideways, and now we may even be starting to point up a little bit here. This is a high probability time. No guarantees, but the probabilities are more in our favor than they have been all year long. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back to talk a little bit more about this. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Well, I wrote in my newsletter last week that, after a big downdraft in the market this year, and I've been very defensive, the Dow down, or the S&P down 20%, 22%, 21%, that was about the low. NASDAQ down 28, 29, 30% at one point during the low. Inverse funds came in very handy to put a safety net underneath. So you could, lock if things went any lower, you were safe from that. And then I said last week, it's trying to form a bottom. I've been saying that for several weeks now, but it's just not there yet. And last week I said, we're making further progress in forming this bottom, and there's reasons to be optimistic, and there's reasons to be pessimistic. On the optimism side, okay, the biggest factor that makes me optimistic is the current valuation of stocks. You've had the forward PE of the S&P 500 go from 23, and I've seen it as low as under 16 recently. Right now it's at about 16 to 17, somewhere in there. Now that's average over the years. 23 was extreme. And that had to be taken out of the market, that high multiple that the S&P 500 was trading at. It was trading at that high multiple because of low interest rates. And as interest rates started to go up, the impact that has on the multiple is to shrink it. And interest rates went way up. We've had two big hikes. We're going to get another one next week by the Fed, our friends at the Fed. And that has brought the multiple in line to its long-term average. That's a big reason to be optimistic. Not only has it lowered the President Biden has COVID-19. I just saw that. Maybe the Saudis gave it to him with the hand bump. I don't know. But anyways, that is news, breaking news. He's elderly. We should be concerned, I suppose. Now, back to the markets. That multiple has come down considerably. Not only has it come down on the indexes, but a lot of individual stocks. Now, when the market comes down, generally speaking, I like to look at the highest, the best stocks out there because they've come down too, all right? So that's a reason to be optimistic. Number two, so far, we're still pretty early into this earnings season. By the end of this week, we're going to have maybe 25%, one-fourth, if that, of the earnings in, and I have not seen anything yet that would take those estimates down very much. I mean, maybe a few cents here, a few cents there. So those earnings estimates seem to be intact. Now, that's what I was the most worried about. I was worried about this earnings season, and I still am, because we still have to hear from Microsoft and Apple and Intel and AMD and a lot of the others. But so far, generally speaking, once a trend is in place with the earnings, which pretty much they're coming in line with estimates, nothing exciting, but nothing really disappointing, it seems like we can kind of trust that earnings number that's out there right now, and we can kind of have the multiple set in place right now, so we can have a pretty reasonable target price. And I'll be updating that once again in my newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Now, the reasons to be pessimistic, okay, number one is inflation. If we don't get inflation under control, it's not good. It definitely scared me a lot when I heard Art Laffer, the economist from the Reagan era, say that he thought inflation was accelerating and was going to be very difficult to get back under control. So we'll watch that closely. We have seen gasoline prices come down every day for like the last 30 days, something like that. That's going to help the inflation numbers. And I haven't seen big jumps in food prices here over the last month or so. So maybe we're starting to cool off that inflation. And the other thing I worry about is the U.S. economy. The yield curve continues to be inverted by about 25 basis points, and it's remaining there, okay? We are in an inverted yield curve environment. That doesn't guarantee that there's a recession, but it's a pretty good indicator that we're either already in a recession, which is very possible, or that we're headed into one. Now, having said that, I think that the market's already priced in a six-month recession, because, you know, you've seen it come down here and now level off, and now the market's starting to head back up. It's just like back in 2020 in March when I said, well, you know what, I think that the market has already priced in COVID, because the market went through a huge, huge downtrend, and I was right, okay? So now I'm saying that it appears to me that the market has priced in already a six-month recession, which we're already 5 months into, right? 4 months into, 5 months into the recession. And then the market is saying we'll come out of it. Well, that seems to be the case, but we don't know yet if we're going to go into a deep recession or just a very shallow, quick recession. But right now the market, which is usually right, thinks it's going to be very, very quick and very, very shallow. Okay, so that is a reason to be optimistic. So having said that, I have put more money to work here recently, and I have lightened up on my inverse funds, and but I still have several in place just in case. So that's where we stand right now. Okay, so now let's move to the biggest news of the day. Isn't it Tesla? It's got to be Tesla. It's got to be something involving Elon Musk. If it's not Twitter, if it's not tweeting against Trump, if it's not Tesla earnings or something, it's always something. He does know. He kind of is the modern-day P.T. Barnum, I suppose, but for good measure. I mean, he's done a good job running his company. Tesla reported earnings after the close last night. You know, there were some good things about the earnings report. There were some bad things, the margins. And, you know, at the end of the day, the market will tell you how the report was. Well, I can tell you that Tesla's up 5.2% right now. Now, if you want to see what I mean by a chart that's been going down, like an airplane coming in for a landing at Lindbergh Field in San Diego and then leveling off on the runway and then starting to take off again and begin a new uptrend, Tesla is a picture-perfect chart of that. And it pretty much matches the chart of the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. When you get a chance, look at a one-year chart of TSLA. and you'll know what I'm talking about. Well, when we come back, I got a lot of news out there to talk about and a lot of stocks to talk about. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now, this Best Inverse Funds Now show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. ECB hikes a little bit more than expected. They were expecting 25 basis points. Instead, it came in at 50. And that's got our markets down some today here. You know, that could happen next week when our version of the ECB, otherwise known as the Fed, if they come in at 1%, instead of the 75 basis point hike we're expecting, you could see a sell-off. So be prepared next week for some possible volatility, as if there's not enough now. Jobless claims rise 77,000 to 251K. That's an eight-month high. That's going in the wrong direction. New Edge Wealth says Tesla results prove manufacturing prowess. Yes. That's something that Ford, GM, Lucid, Rivian, all the other players, wannabes in the EV industry, you would think that they can learn a lot from the pioneer, the trailblazing pioneer, Elon Musk, on manufacturing. He continues to roll those off the line, those electric cars, those Teslas. Existing home sales fall more than expected. That comes as no surprise as interest rates headed higher. I know that the mortgage applications have dropped off a cliff, and existing home sales, you know, they're not going like that with three or four different bids trying to outbid one another. We've got a new dynamic, and that's by... It's on purpose by our Fed. European gas prices fall as Russia restarts Nord Stream pipeline. That's why you're seeing the sell-off in the oil and gas stocks today and in oil and gas prices. I think they're going to go back up myself. We've heard how many CEOs here recently from big oil companies, Chevron, yesterday it was ConocoPhillips, saying, you know what, you better do something here. Or we're going to have a major shortage crisis ahead. Well, there's a couple of crises. We heard from President Biden yesterday, who now has tested positive for COVID-19. But we heard his speech yesterday wherein, you know, his crisis, or the crisis that he's headlining and is obviously a problem, is the global warming crisis, the climate crisis, the climate change crisis. And, you know, wind. He didn't really offer any solutions in the speech other than, you know, we're looking at putting wind. This has been going on for years. Off the coast of New England, up in that neck of the woods. That punches a lot of holes in the ocean, doesn't it, to put up each one of those windmills and dumping cement in those holes. I don't know how that is for the fisheries and whatnot out there, and could pose a navigational hazard. But at the same time, that's the direction the world and our country are going. So anyways, the European gas prices, Russia has restarted the Nord Stream pipeline after a 10-day shutdown, but it's flowing well short of capacity, and the European Union is proposing a 15% cut in gas use ahead of a likely Russian cutoff. So they're preparing for the day when Russia cuts it off entirely. Well, that means that the European Commission will be cracking down and watching your energy uses. that, you know, could lights out by 9 o'clock. I don't know. You know, one refrigerator per house. I don't know what it will entail. Must have an electric vehicle by 2030. But definitely there's going to have to be something that gives when the pipeline, they say it's inevitable that it will be cut off. And then, of course, the offshore wind. Biden did not declare a climate emergency yesterday. So that was one. You had the Washington Post expecting that. And really it was a pretty benign speech all in all. Not a lot there. The NASDAQ S&P 500, let's see, where are they at right now? I'm going to continue to watch this during the day because they look to be volatile today, that's for sure. And part of this sell-off in oil, of course, is this pipeline coming back on. But then again, I think that's just dropping those oil prices temporarily. NVIDIA, AMD, lead chips higher. Okay, so here's some other charts that would back up the possible turning of the NASDAQ from down to sideways to up. AMD has a very similar pattern. AMD went from 164 to 71. That's a 54% drop. Okay, I'm glad I didn't write it down. But I am back in at AMD at a much lower price now after making money on it several times over the years. AMD is basically flat today, but it has a pretty good chart. And NVIDIA also, a very similar chart. You know, NVIDIA went from lost half its value, more than half, lost 60% of its value from November until about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It looks to me like NVIDIA has put in a bottom and is now turning to the upside. Why are the chip stocks so excited? Nancy Pelosi has signaled her support for the chip bill. Okay, and of course, earlier this month, her and her husband exercised millions of dollars in call options in NVIDIA. According to congresstrading.com, a database that keeps track of lawmakers' stock trades. Well, this pending legislation on the chips would give roughly $54 billion in subsidies to encourage manufacturers to build foundries in the U.S. I don't know that that helps NVIDIA or AMD. But the companies that make that make the chips, that's where the big benefit. But it's lifting the entire chip sector. Okay, Bitcoin. Guess who unloaded? Now, here's another. He never misses a day, Musk. He unloaded 75% of his Bitcoin stash. I thought he was a big believer in cryptocurrency. Now, the guy at MicroStrategy, he still is, Michael Saylor. And I saw that Novogratz at Galaxy Digital, he says Bitcoin's going to 500,000. Never mind that he owns a Bitcoin dealership. But Musk pulling the plug, selling 75% of his Bitcoin stash. I got to believe that that's a lot of the reason why it's down $1,000 today. The electric car manufacturer unloaded $300 million worth of Bitcoin. Amazon to acquire One Medical. Now, this is a stock we own. This is a stock we wrote up. This is a stock that never really amounted to much. One Life Healthcare, it's a telemedicine. And you can go back and read our article in Seeking Alpha. Well, the stock's up 68% today. So not too bad. Something good did come from this. Never mind it was once at $59 a share. It's being bought out by Amazon. Amazon really, well, you know the story. It's the everything story. Okay, so now you can get your surgery through Amazon, I suppose. I don't know, telemedicine. One Life Healthcare was a company that was backed by Google. It's headquartered in the Silicon Valley. It provides membership-based primary care online, digital, virtual. Stock's been going sideways for a long, long time, and bang, today, Amazon to acquire ONEM in a $3.9 billion all-cash deal. I got to believe that for Amazon, $3.9 billion is pocket change, but they obviously want to get into the telehealth business. Apple iPhone shipments in China surged in June following the COVID lockdowns report. There's another example. How many witnesses, how much testimony do we need to see that the NASDAQ worm has turned to the upside? Look at the chart of Apple. Apple finally bottomed. About the same time the NASDAQ did, about 8 weeks ago, Apple bottomed at 129. It's hitting 153 today and back in a very healthy uptrend. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I think I'll be talking a little bit, I'll be doing all stocks here in the final segment of the show because it seems to be more stocks on the move today. There are some inverse funds on the move today. I might talk about one of those. The best inverse funds today are in the oil sector. That turning back on of the pipeline in Russia, Nord Stream, going to Europe, even if only temporary, has got gas and oil prices down today, 2.4%. The average oil stock, however, is down about 4%, 4.5%, 5%, somewhere in there. I personally think it's temporary. I think that the dynamics in the oil market, I think the supply is going to remain tight. That should keep prices up. That's my opinion. Now, it's going to be tougher. It's going to be made tougher and tougher. It sounds like offshore drilling is going to come under tight, if not clamping down entirely. We're talking the Gulf of Mexico. Instead, they want to put windmills down there. Other areas, well, and the exporting of oil has also been mentioned of our oil. Never mind, we're selling it out of our reserves to other countries around the world, not exactly friendly countries to us either, but us selling our oil, it's obvious they want to ramp, not up, but ramp down production of oil and gas here in the U.S., which you would think would be bullish for oil prices. Okay, now, you know, I'm going to turn to the, there's a lot of stocks on the move that have something in common today, and that is picks and shovel stocks to the biotechs. Let me give you my first example. Would be Repligen, R-E-G-N, and I disclose that I have just a tiny little bit of that stock in my own personal portfolio. I've owned it off and on over the years. It's having a huge day, and like I say, they make consumable bioprocessing products for the life sciences and biopharmaceutical manufacturing companies. They've had good steady growth over the years, the five-year growth rate 45% per year. And when stocks like this, you know, it came down to 65% with the rest of them. And when it got down and the forward PE was at a level I hadn't seen in quite some time, it is a fairly, well, it's $11 billion. I didn't buy it in any of my portfolios, although I may. It is having a big day on four times normal volume. I think it got a big upgrade today. RGEN. It's up 13.7% today on four times normal volume. And one very similar to it, which I've owned in the past, and I currently have no exposure to it, it's having a huge day. Medpace, M-E-D-P. Medpace is a little bit different. Instead of making the products that they would use in a biotech lab, all the consumable products, they do outsourcing of the clinical development services, the clinical trials, etc. Medpace has been growing their earnings over the last 5 years by 31%. Per year, and it's come down. It's forward PE. Here's another stock that went from 228 to 128. So it lost almost one half of its value, and then obviously the PE rate. We haven't seen any downgrades or any lowering of the earnings expectations. It's all happened in the middle of that equation to calculate a target price. It's all happened in the PE and the multiple. That's what's come down. The earnings have stayed the same. So therefore, Medpace is trading at a lot lower forward PE ratio than it was back in November, December, when we were at extreme valuations in the market. And like I say, that's one of the reasons to be optimistic right now on the market, is because those extreme valuations have been taken out of the market, therefore greatly lowering the valuation risk that you take on by purchasing stocks at these levels than by purchasing them back at November levels. Medpace is up almost 5% today. Nice breakout. Perfect example. This is also a very typical stock chart right now of the four-letter stock symbols, which indicate they're a member of the NASDAQ for the most part. MEDP and RGEN, both NASDAQ stocks. A lot of stocks in the NASDAQ have this kind of chart right now, which is bang. They bottomed in early May, mid-May. They've been going sideways since then. And then they are currently starting to break out. And maybe that could be the beginning of a new uptrend for these stocks and for the NASDAQ. We'll see. But that extreme valuation has been taken out of these stocks. And one last one. We'll go to the other side of the street, to the inverse fund side of the street, BITI, B-I-T-I, which is another little position I own. It's an inverse ETF on Bitcoin. That's the one that ProShares brought out about a month ago. Bitcoin's been going up lately. It's been going down. Now it's up 5% today, and I'm sure that's being helped along by Elon Musk unloading of $300 million, or 75% of his Bitcoin holdings. He's probably going to need that money to fight the Twitter battle. But I think probably that he's kind of lost his faith in Bitcoin, maybe. All right, well, that will about wrap up today's show. A lot going on, a lot to be encouraged about, a lot to be optimistic about. The charts of the NASDAQ S&P are getting very healthy right now. The extreme valuations have been taken out. But we still have about 75% of the S&P 500 companies to hear from. And we have a Fed on the warpath, probably going to throw a tomahawk at us next week. All right. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.